The second reading is from Romans. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. For it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. The word of the Lord.
Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, do we have any real sports fans in the house this morning? Okay, good. All right, I see some hands going up. Okay, good. Because there is something about sports fandom that can, believe it or not, bring us right to the heart of the Reformation that Martin Luther started almost 500 years ago. So let's see, do we have any Phillies fans here? Okay, now Phillies fans, who are your rivals? Who are the rivals to the Phillies? Who can you not stand? The Braves. Okay, is there a Braves fan in the house? Yes, I thought so. All right. See, this is how church splits start. Okay, this is now. Any Ravens fans present? Any Steelers fans present? Okay, I don't need to ask how you all feel about each other. I know how that works. Now, as a New England Patriots fan, of course, I can't root for the New York Jets. As a Christian and a gentleman, I can't root for the Yankees. That's... Okay, that might have gone a little far. Okay, I'll admit it. But it does get us right to the heart of the Reformation. Now, how does that work? Bear me out here. Early in his life, Martin Luther was convinced that God was like one of these hardcore sports fans. God is righteous, Luther thought, and because he is righteous, he must hate the unrighteous. Just like a Ravens fan and a Steelers fan are not going to get along, that's what Luther thought God and the unrighteous would be like. And that's what the church of the day taught. And so the duty of Christians was to make yourself as righteous as possible. Now, if you couldn't get your moral books balanced, you could buy an indulgence. Now, indulgences were these pieces of paper sold by the church that supposedly gave whoever bought one a certain amount of forgiveness of sins, sort of like an eternal get-out-of-jail-free card. And the more money you spent, the more forgiveness you got, and in fact, you could even buy them for friends or relatives who had already died. And believe me, the money only went to the most noble of uses, honestly. Doing good deeds, attending enough church services, praying the right prayers, buying enough indulgences, that could get you the righteousness that would make you the kind of person that God could root for. That's what Luther thought. Until the Holy Spirit started messing around in his head and showing him the real meaning of the scriptures. And in the passage that we just heard read out of Romans, Luther had his mind blown wide open. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And that key phrase there is the righteousness of God. Luther had thought that meant this pure, righteous, holy indignance that would make God hate the unrighteous. This moral perfection that would not be able to stand to look on imperfection, just like a Red Sox fan cannot look at the Yankees. But then Luther started to see what Paul was really saying. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the good news that Jesus has become Lord of heaven and earth by overcoming sin and death, not through judgment and wrath, but through mercy and suffering. The gospel is the message that God would rather embrace agony and die in the flesh, bearing the sins of the world. He would rather do that than condemn or abandon his beloved creation. In other words, what Luther saw is that the gospel tells us that God's righteousness isn't something that makes him hate sinners. God's righteousness is his love even for sinners. It is in God's character, it's in his nature to forgive sinners and to make the unrighteous into the righteous. What Paul is saying here is that God is so righteous, God is so good, so full of love, that he can't keep his goodness to himself. He gives his righteousness away in Jesus. And anyone who takes God at his word, anyone who believes that in Jesus, the unrighteous, the unholy, the broken, the confused, the lost, the messed up, are embraced by healing mercy. Anyone who believes that has what the gospel promises: forgiveness, salvation, hope, and life. See, the heart of the Lutheran message is that God loves sinners, that God heals the broken, that he forgives and makes the unrighteous righteous. Like we read together out of Psalm 25, God doesn't abandon sinners. He teaches them his way. And so our slogan for Reformation Day shouldn't be, "Yay, Lutherans, we've got it all figured out. We're better than everyone else." No, see, that's the trap that the people listening to Jesus in John chapter 8 fell into. They were trusting in their historical heritage. Well, we're children of Abraham. Just like we could say, well, we're the spiritual children of Martin Luther. That's not what we trust in. We trust in God's grace. So our slogan as Lutherans on Reformation Day and on every day should be Paul's words out of Romans: I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who has faith. See, if we want to be faithful to our Lutheran heritage, then we've got to be people who are all about the gospel. We have to fight constantly the very human idea, the very natural temptation to think that anyone either has to or can do enough good things to make Jesus look at us and say, yeah, you're all right. You've got it figured out. That doesn't happen. We have to constantly come back to the promise of the gospel. Jesus died for sinners, and all of us qualify. God forgives. He carries the lost back home. And we are not ashamed of this because it is truly our great hope. Now, all of this isn't about being Lutheran enough or being more Lutheran than thou. No, it's for all Christians. If we take our eyes off the ball of the gospel, if we let anything else have our focus, then we're going to be in trouble either as individuals or as a church. See, Martin Luther didn't just run into a bunch of theological problems in his day. Now, when he looked at the church, he saw hypocrisy and greed and immorality at every level of the church hierarchy. And he saw that those problems of behavior were rooted in problems of belief and teaching. Another way of saying this is that broken theology, broken belief, leads to broken living. Lutherans care about theology not so we can feel like we got it right, but because we know that bad theology wounds souls and leaves people without hope. See, apart from the gospel, we would always be left wondering about God. We have to wonder, if he is good and powerful, well, what's he going to do about evil? What's he going to do about us when we're not good? See, without Jesus, we'd have to guess. And there would always be that fear that if there is a God, maybe he does have that kind of righteousness that Luther originally thought. That he is holy, and so he's on the side of the holy and against the unholy. Now, do you know what that kind of thinking does to a person? Because it affects all of us, whether we know it or not, because that fear is a natural human reality. It's what makes us value looking good and righteous more than being good and righteous. It's what makes us want to believe that we really are better than those people outside the church. That fear of God is what drives us deep inside to minimize our own stuff, what we now call our own issues, what Luther would call our own sin. And it makes us focus on what's wrong with everybody else so that we can look at them and say, well, I must not have too much to worry about because I'm sure as heck better than them. And you can see where that road leads. Hypocrisy. Selfishness. Pride. Judgmentalness. A shriveling up of our compassion. Well, here's the hard truth. All of us are more stuck in sin, more messed up, and more broken than we can realize. But here's the Reformation thing. You have nothing to fear because of that. Jesus has you covered. The gospel tells us that God's mercy and love is greater than even the worst evil. Oh, God is righteous. But he doesn't root against the unrighteous. He saves us. He forgives us. He heals us. So, don't be ashamed of the fact that you need God's grace. Don't be ashamed of your imperfection. Don't let guilt or fear drive you to try to look better than you really are or to try to look down on others. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Jesus died and rose again for you and for the world. And once that good news starts to grab a hold of our hearts and minds, there will truly be a reformation at work, and we won't be able to keep it contained here at Reformation. Because when the gospel gets loose, then the righteousness of God will be revealed so that many more can come and see and believe that in Jesus Christ there is life and hope and joy for you and for all who will come to believe. Amen.